You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. The title of this message, ladies and gentlemen, is Tall Tales in the Mud. Can you read between the lines? Tall Tales in the Mud. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we will be exposing our enemies today, as we always do on this station. And this time we're going to use their own words again on them, right out of the horses' mouths. See, tall tales in the mud means the Talmud. Yes, you're going to hear what they don't want you to hear. You're going to understand what they never wanted you to even perceive. And it is forbidden for one as myself to read this Talmud. But the Jew has no authority. And so we'll just read it anyway. Now, first of all, I'm going to try to, I got a video here by Rabbi Yisrael Ariel, and this is from Jerusalem, 9-9-2015. Now I want you to pay attention to that date, 9-9. 9-9 is 18, 666, 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18, just for giggles, let's say. And it's this conquest by the people of Israel. Now, this is before I go into the Talmud. I just want you to see what this misguided satanic creature has to say. And what's interesting is, if you look at his ear, I just saw that ear on the politician from Australia. Now, I'm not saying this is the guy from Australia, but I am saying one thing, that ear should show you who these people are. That's one of the things you can identify people by, is their ear. It's just the shape of this ear. It's just not natural. Okay? Neither here nor there. So I'm going to try to, I might have to pause the video here and there, but I'm going to, because he's, of course, speaking in his hybrid language for the hybrid people. He's not speaking in Hebrew. He's speaking in Yiddish, which is a trickery to make people believe that they're Hebrews, but they're not Hebrews. They're a hybrid people, and they speak a hybrid language. Let's move along with Mr. Rabbi Yisrael Ariel. Now, that's provided that the video will work. Okay. He's the head of the Sanhedrin and the Temple Institute. With all due respect to the rabbis, we have to raise a point here. We are talking about the Sanhedrin. We are talking about the purity of the court. As we said, we are dealing with Jewish people. What power does the Sanhedrin have with respect to the other nations of the world? None, I tell you. Let's say they come here and decide to put on trial and sentence to some punishment or other. The Pope Francis or President Obama. Somewhere it is written what must be done about it. We read it earlier. although not all of it. This is in the name of mammon deeds. This is what the Torah commanded us. They don't even read the Torah. He's lying right here. What Moses commanded us from the mouth. When mammon deeds said, well, it means that it is a commandment from the Torah to take action where it is written. We recently read Deuteronomy 20:10. When thou drawest nigh unto a city, fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. What is meant by peace? Maimonides says that they must agree to follow the 7 Noahide laws. Let me stop right there. The 7 Noahide laws. The 7 Noahide laws. I will get into the Noahide laws. They have passed the Noahide laws in our country. And I will tell you that one of them is, if you believe in the Bible, or if you worship Jesus Christ, you will be put to death. Let me continue. So why do you call for war? Stay at home. Why go to war? Because it is a commandment from the Torah to take action. Just as there is a commandment to conquer the land of Israel, there is a commandment to fight sanctioned wars. There are commandments. It is written. In a sanctioned war, if you see an attractive woman, then there is another commandment. Can you marry the woman? And if so, how? Etc. These are commandments from the Torah. They don't have anything to do with the Torah, ladies and gentlemen. Their commandments are mostly, really, fully from the Talmud. But they like to pretend that they have something to do with the first 5 books of the Bible, which is known as the Torah. Let's continue on here. I want you to see what he's going to say later. See, they always wait to the end, these snakes. But you wait till you hear what he's going to say at the end. Who makes the decision to embark on a sanctioned war? King David asked the Sanhedrin. For example, may I embark on a war with northern Syria and Aleppo? Maimonides says that King David went to the Sanhedrin and asked them if he could go out and conquer. Everything that David did was sanctioned by the high court. That is what Maimonides said, or Maimonides. Maimonides. It's spelled this way, just in case you want to look it up. Maimonides. Maimonides, or almost like mammon. Then he went out to conquer northern Syria and Aleppo. This conquest by the people of Israel, living in Israel, in Jerusalem, you try them in court, northern Syria and Aleppo. You decide that they deserve all kinds of punishments and so on. You summon them to court. And you decide whether to go for broke over it. That's not how it works. The law works differently for them. In Israel, you take the person and put him on a trial. You take a convert to Judaism who did not follow the religious laws. You judge him and punish him. punish him. But non-Jews who do not follow the seven Noahide laws, such as thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal, etc. Okay, that's what I was pointing at to you. What happened to the other three laws? There's only seven Noahide laws. You see how these people work? There's seven Noahide laws. What happened to the ten? And that was to Moses, not Noah. So, but non-Jews who do not follow the seven Noahide laws, such as thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal, etc. Now, remember what I told you, that they passed these laws in America when Daddy Bush was in office. He is a Jew. He sat there and signed that with all the rabbis standing around him. So now he's saying that you're going to tell these nations about the seven Noahide laws, and if they do not obey them, he'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You proclaim peace to them, meaning you ask them, do you follow the laws? Do you follow the laws? If so, we will allow you to live if you follow the laws. If not, you kill all of their males by sword. You only leave the women. How do you leave them? They must all agree to follow the seven laws. And that is how you impose the seven laws on that city. Or in the case of the United States, that country. Someone just said, we don't have the might to fight. That's right, you don't. But who decides if we have might or not? God. He gives you the might to raise an army with shekels. Therefore, he is the one who commanded us to go from city to city to conquer them, and to impose the seven laws throughout the world. That is the job of the Messiah, among others. Now remember, the Jews call themselves the Messiah. They believe that they are the Messiah, yet they are waiting for somebody who is known as the Messiah, and all this kind of nonsense. But let's just continue on. This won't take much longer, but I think you'll be interested to hear what else he has to say, or else I wouldn't have wasted our time with this. He does not come as the Messiah. He comes to carry out these commandments. You conquer a city, and then they follow the seven laws. We, listen to this, what he's saying now. We will conquer Iraq, Turkey. We will get to Iran, too. We will impose the seven Noahide laws on all of those places. But installing does not mean with courts. Rather, it means with war. First he said you just go there and you go in peace and you ask them if they follow it. Now he's saying something totally different. You see, he's going to install it with war. He's just going to pass the peace process and move right into the war, you see. But installing does not mean with courts. Rather, it means with war, you see. Just remember what he said before. He said, first you go to a nation and ask them if they follow these laws. But not to just kill, just the opposite. You say, I call, oh, now he's back to peace. I call upon you in peace by committing war on them. Oh, I get it now. Okay, I get you. If they raise the flag of surrender and say, from now on, there is no more Christianity, no more Islam. Pay attention to this very closely, ladies and gentlemen. If they raise the flag of surrender and say, from now on, there is no more Christianity, no more Islam. The mosques and the Christian spires and their crosses come down. From now on, we follow the seven Noahide laws. This is a task of the Messiah, to bring the entire world to the seven laws for real. This is not a matter for court hearings. It is something to carry out, plain and simple. Therefore, Maimonides says that if you see a person in the street who does not follow the seven laws, this is what he says. If we have the might, you have to kill him. If you catch U.S. President Obama on the street and you know that he does not follow the seven laws, etc., you are commanded to kill him. Sorry, you are commanded to kill him, and the sooner the better. That's peaceful, of course. This is why we have Maimonides. If someone threatens you to ruin you, to kill you, you kill him first. But there are numerous levels to the snake. Are you hearing this? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a rabbi saying this, I'm telling you. But there are numerous levels to the snake, and you have to go level by level. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, I do love this stuff. I remember I saw that before, but I forgot that was coming. I'm just as surprised as you, but not really surprised. I just think it's funny. You see, these people are have so many contradictions. First, you're supposed to go in peace. Then you're supposed to go, you're supposed to accomplish this by war. And, you know, then if you meet somebody on the street and you know they don't follow the laws, you just kill them outright. And basically, you just see that these people are mentally ill in the first place. You can see that you can see right away that their God is not Yahweh. Now, Yahweh commanded us to kill people in the Old Testament. Yes, that's true. But you can see that this is nothing to do with Yahweh. They pretend to use the Torah and pretend they follow the Torah, but they follow Maimonides and other of their prophets. Now, the Sanhedrin has no zero. The Sanhedrin in Israel had authority. That's why they were able to, you know, take Yeshua to court. But as far as David and the Sanhedrin goes, that was a different time. David was killing Jews then. Okay? You just have to realize that Sanhedrin, you got to realize that the king does have to answer. When we had kings in Israel, they had to answer to the elders. And rightly so. The elders had to keep and make sure and keep things in check to make sure that the king was kept in check. But that's not the Sanhedrin that he's talking about today. See, the snake. See, I'm going to just read this again just so you know. Keep your ears open, real open right now. But there are numerous levels to the snake, and you have to go level by level. Let's continue. It's almost over. We cannot invent religious laws that do not exist. These people are lying. They write laws every day. And the whole Talmud is all their religious tradition, which supersedes any laws. Wait till you see what's going to be said later in this particular message that you're receiving today from Yahweh. Okay? He's a liar. We cannot invent religious laws that do not exist. Maybe these words are not so pleasant to hear, but this is why we have the Torah of Moses. We are also forbidden to lie. We have to tell the whole Torah, the truth of it. He's lying to you right now. Number two, I would just bring you back to remember the five things that they were, all Jewish children are taught. And one of the very last one is never tell the truth. Okay. So he is saying here, we are also forbidden to lie. We have to tell the whole Torah, the truth of it. Yet there's only seven Noahide laws. Hello. I mean, you know, this is too easy. These Jews make it too easy because they're really not as intelligent as they would have you to believe they are. You see, what happened is, as they mentally bob back and forth like a cobra snake near that wall or anywhere else they are, when they're reciting those prayers and putting themselves in a trance, their brains got shaken up somehow. And they're a little bit confused, just a little bit confused, as we can see. It's almost over here. Pay attention. May we all merit to follow the commandments and to see the Messiah follow these commandments and to see the Messiah follow these commandments. Cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. You know what I mean? Okay. And now I would just love to know what's going on inside your heads out there, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder how many levels to the snake there are. I think we learned that in our first show when we learned about the Kahilla. You know, the backbone of Shaitan is claws, you know, the B'nai B'rith, and all the different parts of the serpent or the snake, right out of his own mouth. These people just, they don't even know what they're giving away. It's like their Yahweh suspends their mind or something so that they just give it all away. It's just too easy. And so let's move on to more of the horse's mouths. Talmudic quotes. The decisions of the Talmud are words of the living God. Jehovah himself asks the opinions of earthly rabbis when there are difficult affairs in heaven. I know you must be laughing right now. I'm not going to read every one of these quotes twice because it'll take too long. I have to read this again. The decisions of the Talmud are words of the living God. Jehovah himself asks the opinions of earthly rabbis when there are difficult affairs in heaven. You believe that, don't you, ladies and gentlemen? I know I do. And that's from Rabbi Menachem, Comments for the Fifth Book. Okay, next quote. Jehovah himself in the heavens studies the Talmud. Standing, he has such respect for that book. Yeah, he stands when he reads it. That's from Tractate Macilla Miella. Oh, my God. These people are incredible. Okay. R. Johanan said, "A heathen who studies the Torah deserves death, for it is written, Moses commanded us a law for an inheritance. It is our inheritance, not theirs. Then, why is this not included in the Noachian laws?" They changed it to Noachian instead of Noahide laws. "On the reading of Marasha, an inheritance, he steals it. On the reading of Marasha, betrothed, he is guilty as one who violates a betrothed maiden who is stoned. An objection is raised. R. Meyer used to say, whence do we know that even a heathen who studies the Torah is a high priest? From the verse, ye shall keep therefore my statutes and my judgments, which if man do, he shall live in them. Priests, Levites, and Israelites are not mentioned, but men. Hence, thou mayest learn that even the heathen who studies the Torah is as a high priest." That refers to their own seven laws. Now, that means that you are becoming a high priest here, ladies and gentlemen, as we study these comments. Okay, this one is from Sanhedrin 59a. "To communicate anything to a goy about our religious relations would be equal to the killing of all Jews. For if the goyim knew what we teach about them, they would kill us openly." Next quote. What more can I say about that? What more? You see why they don't want us to read this book? You see, it's just amazing that everything in the Bible God says to speak out. He does say the mysteries are for us to know and them not to know. But it tells you right in the Bible, right out in the open, what's going to happen to these people, the Edomites. Okay, next quote is from Libra David 37. "A Jew should and must take and a Jew should and must make a false oath when a goyim asks if our books contain anything against them." I'll read it again. Now, he just said they shouldn't lie, remember? Remember that in the video he said we are not permitted to lie, we are commanded not to lie? Listen again now. "A Jew should and must make a false oath when the goyim asks if our books contain anything against them." That's from Libra David 37. Saloth Utzabot, the book of Yoradiah 17. "We beg thee, O Lord, indict thy wrath on the nations not believing in thee and not calling on thy name. Let down thy wrath upon them and inflict them with thy wrath. Drive them away in thy wrath and crush them into pieces. Take away, O Lord, all bone from them. In a moment, indict all disbelievers. Destroy in a moment all foes of thy nation. Draw out with a root. Disperse and ruin unworthy nations. Destroy them. Destroy them immediately. And in this very moment." Prayer said on the eve of Passover. Incredible. Okay, and so... excuse me, that was the one Salzoff Utzabot. Now, this one is prayer said on the eve of Passover, excuse me. And it says, "Prangitus Christianius in Talmudai Judorium," quotations from Synagoga Judaica. "The Feast of Tabernacles is the period when Israel triumphs over the other people of the world. That is why during this feast we seize the lulav and carry it as a trophy to show that we have conquered all other peoples, known as populace." Zohar Toldoth, Noah 63b. "When the Messiah comes, every Jew will have 2,800 slaves." Very interesting. Geez, the Muslims only have, they don't get much. But the Jews get a lot of slaves, 2,800 of them. I tell you, it's remarkable. Okay, next quote. Simeon Hadarasan, FOL56-D. Resh Lakish said, he who is observant of fringes will be privileged to be served by the 2,800 slaves. For it is said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold, that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations and shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. Well, it won't be me, that's for sure. Next quote from Mas Shabbat 31b. On the house of the Goy, Goy means unclean and is the disparaging term for a non-Jew, one looks as on the fold of cattle. Tosefta, Tractate, E. Reuben the Eighth. This is our next quote. When a Jew has a Gentile in his clutches, another Jew may go to the same Gentile, lend him money, and in turn deceive him, so that the Gentile shall be ruined. For the property of a Gentile, according to our law, belongs to no one, and the first Jew that passes has the full right to seize it. Don't you just love the laws? They spent their 70 years in Babylon when some of them were dragged with us. They certainly spent it well writing up their laws. Okay. Shulchan Aruch Chosen Hamisbat 156. Here's your quote. If it can be proven that someone has given the money of Israelites to the Goyim, a way must be found after prudent consideration to wipe him off the face of the earth. Nice, huh? Listen again. If it can be proven that someone has given the money of Israelites to the Goyim, a way must be found after prudent consideration to wipe him off the face of the earth. Next quote, Croshen Ham, ham, these pigs, 388.15. Happy will be the lost of Israel, whom the Holy One, blessed be He, has chosen from amongst the Goyim, of whom the scriptures say, their work is but a vanity. It is an illusion at which we must laugh, that will all perish when God visits them in his wrath. At the moment when the Holy One, blessed be he, will exterminate all of the Goyim of the world, Israel alone will subsist. Even as it is written, the Lord alone will appear great on that day. Boy, they sure twist it around, don't they? If only wait till they find out, and they already know, that they're the ones that are going to be wiped. I love it. Yes, Obadiah. Yes, goodbye. Okay, our next quote. Let me just take a little lovely sip of coffee here. Boy, it's good. Okay. Zohar Veshla 177b. That the Jewish nation is the only nation selected by God, while all the remaining ones are contemptible and hateful. Tell me, isn't this world upside down? It's so backwards, it's amazing. Just that statement right there, right now, right? The most hateful people on this planet are the Jews. They actually must convince themselves of these things. No wonder they're bobbing their heads back and forth. Okay, let me go on with this quote. That the Jewish nation is the only nation selected by God, while all the remaining ones are contemptible and hateful. That all property of other nations belongs to the Jewish nation, which consequently is entitled to seize upon it without any scruples. An Orthodox Jew is not bound to observe principles of morality towards people of other tribes. He may act contrary to morality if profitable to himself or to Jews in general. Oh my goodness. A Jew may rob a goy. He may cheat him over a bill, which should not be perceived by him, otherwise the name of God would become dishonored. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. These people are incredible. Shulchan Aruch, chosen Hamispat. We got ham in it again, these pigs. 348. Our Hanina said, if a heathen smites a Jew, he is worthy of death, for it is written, and he has looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. Okay, our Hanina also said, he who smites an Israelite on the jaw is as though he had thus assaulted the divine presence, for it is written, one who smiteth man attacketh the Holy One. And it said, one who, by the way, just a little further footnote here. For it is written, one who smiteth man, i.e. an Israelite, attacketh the Holy One. I think you Jews and you other families of the earth better pay attention to what that just said. Because a lot of you have been smacking Israelites, and which means you are attacking Yahweh. Because these people aren't Israelites. They're pretenders. They're actors. Let's go on with their quotes, though. This is proving to be, I've always wanted to know more of what the Talmud says. Just in the same way as Hitler, I always wondered when I was a child and growing up, that why we never heard his words in English. They could do subtitles on everything under the sun, but they never did it with that. So all you remember was, Ich find die Greiden, die Breiten so deutsch in Deutsch. And they kind of implied to you, oh, that means he hates the Jews and he's an evil devil and all this. It was just the opposite. When I finally heard Hitler's words, I was blown away. It was pure common sense. Now, I heard some guy speaking on here just before I came on, and he said National Socialism is the same as communism. Well, that wasn't true because Hitler gave back all the businesses that the Jews had stolen off the people. He gave them back their dignity. He gave them back. The state didn't own their homes. The state didn't own their businesses. That's a lie. Now, I'm not saying I'm a national socialist or anything like that. What I'm saying is that's not what happened. It was a very Christian atmosphere after Hitler ejected the Jews and the Freemasons out of Germany. It was a very Christian atmosphere. There was no more smut on the newsstands. But I'm not going to go into all that right now, but that's just something important for you to know. You better do some studies on what happened in World War I, World War II, pre- and post-Germany. Okay. So, Sanhedrin 58b. In other words, if a non-Jew kills a Jew, the non-Jew can be killed. Punching an Israelite is akin to assaulting God, but killing a non-Jew is not like assaulting God. If a goy killed a goy or a Jew, he is responsible. But if the Jew killed a goy, he is not responsible. I want you to notice something, too, by the way. There's this doctor, another Jew doctor, by the way, that has just been busted for raping, drugging and raping his patients. No charges are going to come upon him. That's very Talmudic, my friends. It's what I just read you right here. By the way, there was also this other little Jewish clown from Florida, I think it was, and he built some kind of a, he was teaching people on Facebook or Twitter how to make, what do you call those, pressure cooker bombs. They're not going to do anything to him either. Yet if you did something like that, you'd be put away for good. Okay, next quote. Tosefta Abodah Zara 8:5. Has it not been taught with respect to robbery, if one stole or robbed or seized a beautiful woman or committed similar offenses, if these were perpetrated by one Cuthian, or Samaritan equals a goy, Gentile, heathen, non-Jew, against another, the theft must not be kept, and likewise the theft of an Israelite by a Cuthian, but that of a Cuthian by an Israelite, may be retained. But if a robbery is a capital offense, should not the Tanna have taught he incurs a penalty? Because the second clause wishes to state, but that of a Cuthian by an Israelite may be retained. Therefore, the former clause reads, theft of an Israelite by a Cuthian must not be kept. But where a penalty is incurred, it is explicitly stated, for the commencing clause teaches, for murder, whether of a Cuthian by a Cuthian or of an Israelite by a Cuthian, punishment is incurred. But of a Cuthian by an Israelite, there is no death penalty. Sanhedrin 57a. Translation. A Jew may rob a goy, but a goy may not rob a Jew. If a goy murders another goy or a Jew, he should be killed. But a Jew will not incur the death penalty for killing a non-Jew. Kill the goyim by any means possible. Are they doing that to us, ladies and gentlemen? Even though we are not the goy, they are the goyim. Are they killing us by any means possible? Why, yes, they are. They're killing us 100 ways till Sunday. Let's continue on. Shoshen Hamispat, 425.50. Another, they got ham in everything, these people. These pigs have ham in everything. Everyone who sheds the blood of the impious non-Jews is as acceptable to God as he who offers a sacrifice to God. So you see how they justify things in their mind? You have your Jewish abortion clinic doctor there, and he reads this, or his rabbi reads this to him, so he can sleep at night. Everyone who sheds the blood of the impious non-Jews is acceptable to God as he who offers a sacrifice to God. In other words, it's no different killing a chicken than it is a young baby of the goyim. See? Okay, next quote, from Yalkut 245C. Extermination of the Christians is a necessary sacrifice. Geez, if only this could be read in the Judeo-Christian churches. I wonder how they would feel about that. Geez, I wonder why. But they're the Jews. It must be right. So if they kill us, it's necessary because they determined that they're the Jews. They're God's chosen people. Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, and if you believe that, I got an ocean to sell you. Zohar Shemath, Tabsheb Goyim Harog. Even the best of the Goyim / quote Gentiles should be killed. Even the best of the Goyim should be killed. Next one. So Ferum 15, Rule 10, N.B. Hoffman says, this passage is not from Sonsino edition, but is from the original Hebrew of the Babylonian Talmud, as quoted by the 1907 Jewish Encyclopedia, published by Funk and Wagnalls, and compiled by Isidore Singer under the entry Gentile, page 617. Another source says this passage is as Advada, Zara 26b. We have not been able to verify any of these references. It does not seem to be Avoda Zara 26b of the Sassino edition. What is the meaning of Mount Sinai, the mountain where there descended hostility, Sinai, toward the idolaters, non-Jews? But I thought you went by the Torah. Yeah. Shabbat 89a. The same has been taught as follows. If the ox of an Israelite gores the ox of a Canaanite, non-Jew, there is no liability. But if the ox of a Canaanite gores the ox of an Israelite, the payment is to be in full. As it is said, he stood and measured the earth. Excuse me. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, Gentiles, again. They're claiming that, you know, they're saying nations, Gentiles, again. He shined forth from Mount Paran, implying that from Paran he exposed their money to Israel. Whew, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Baba Kama 38a. Imagine they have all these different kinds of books. Baba Kama. Translation, I assume this means, the property of an Israelite is more valuable than that of the Gentile. Mount Paran refers to Deuteronomy 33:2, where God offered the law to the nations, to the Gentiles, who rejected it. The monies of the Gentiles is available to the Israelites. One should not place cattle in the heathens' inns because they are suspected of immoral practice with them. Look who's this is amazing. This is amazing. This is incredible. One should not place cattle in the heathens' inns because they are suspected of immoral practice with them. A woman should not be alone with them because they are suspected of lewdness. Nor should a man be alone with them because they are suspected of shedding blood. Oh, these hypocrites are just absolutely, it just is stunning, is it not? I mean, when you're hearing this, are you shaking your head? Is that what I'm feeling? Is there enough of you out there? Are there enough of you people out there listening and shaking your head that we could actually feel it through our seats? I mean, this is just remarkable. Why then should we not leave female animals alone with female heathens? Said Mark Ukuba Bihama. Because heathens frequent their neighbor's wives, and should one by chance not find her in and find the cattle there, he might use it immorally. You may also say that even if he should find her in, he might use the animal. And As a master has said, heathens prefer cattle of Israelites to their own wives. Oh, my goodness. This is remarkable. This is remarkable. For our Johanan said, when the serpent came to Eve, he infused filthy lust into her. Let me read that again. When the serpent came to Eve, he infused filthy lust into her. Very interesting. Avadazara 22a/B. He who pours the oil of anointing over cattle or vessels is not guilty. If over heathens or the dead, he is not guilty. The law relating to the cattle and vessels is right, for it is written, upon the flesh of man, Adam, shall it not be poured, and cattle and vessels are not man. Also, with regard to the dead, it is plausible that he is exempt, since after death one is called corpse and not man. But why is one exempt in the case of heathens? Are they not in the category of Adam? No, it is written, and ye my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are Adam man. Ye are called Adam, but heathens are not called Adam. But it is not written, and the persons Adam were 16,000, because it is used in opposition to cattle, but it is not written. But is it not written, and should I not have pity on Nineveh, that great city, wherein more than 60,000 persons, Adam, this is too used in opposition to cattle. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And so they just give it a little explanation. This passage refers to anointing with oil. Heathens, i.e. Gentiles, are not Adam or man, but are equated with cattle. Now, as you can see, the Jews do not blush, and the word Adam means to be able to blush, or Adam. These people have turned everything around and have perverted all these words. They are the ones who are the heathens. They are the ones who are cattle. And we are Adam. We're able to blush. These people are very, very confused people, as you can see. No wonder Yeshua rebuked them for writing the Talmud and the traditions of the men. The traditions of men. They're not even men, they're snakes. It ought to be the tradition of snakes, the Talmud. How many levels to the snake there, Rabbi? An objection was raised, and the persons were 16,000. This is due to the mention of cattle, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right and their left hand. This is due to the mention of cattle. Okay, on and on with that. Mass Yevamoth 61b. Again, non-Jews are referred to as cattle. All Israelites will have part in the future world. The Goyim at the end of the world will be handed over to the angel Duma and sent down to hell. See what I mean? They've got it all backwards. They're not Israelites, number one. And at the end, we know what's going to happen to them. They are going to be bundled and burned. And Edom shall have no place under heaven or earth again. They are liars. I mean, this is just amazing, though, to see. So that you can hear it and see it for yourself, it's worth me doing this message. It's worth it. Because you're hearing it. They not only won't bring up the name Yahweh, I haven't seen it yet, they keep calling him Jehovah, which should be a clue to you. Okay, Zohar, Shemoth, Toldoth, Noah, Lekleka. Jehovah created the non-Jew in human form so that the Jew would not have to be served by beasts. The non-Jew is consequently an animal in human form and condemned to serve the Jew day and night. Oh, man, I tell you, this is something else, boy. Our next quote. I'm sorry, I'm smiling right now. It's just, it's hard to contain yourself when you, it's just remarkable. I think you realize how stupid these people are. Okay. Midrash Talpioth, page 225-L. Everything a Jew needs for his church ritual, no goy is permitted to manufacture, but only a Jew, because this must be manufactured by human beings, and the Jew is not permitted to consider the goyim as human beings. Well, we don't consider you as human beings, Jew. That's for sure. We consider you the serpent seed line, and we know that you are the serpent seed line. We're not just making it up like you do. We're not twisting words like you do. We know who we are, and we know who you are. Now, you better hope that you don't need anything like food for your church ritual, because you have the curse of Cain. You wouldn't be able to grow it. You'd have to have us so-called non-Jews grow it for you. I bet you don't have any of those foods for your church rituals. Now, that is in contradiction when I just think of that, because there it is. Now, I've just revealed something. Who grew the chickens that you used about a month ago to slaughter, to transfer your sins to the chickens, and you scatter the blood all over the place, and then you just discard the chicken, and then lie and say you're giving them to, the chicken to for the poor to eat? So here's a lie. You're seeing a lie right here. Everything a Jew needs for his church ritual, no goy is permitted to manufacture. Well, I guarantee you the Jew didn't manufacture the chicken. Well, really, I don't know. Maybe I can't guarantee it. Who knows? I don't know who owns the chicken factories. But it's worth investigating, maybe. Let's get on to the next quote. I mean, remarkable, though. Shulshan Aruch Arach. Shame 14:20-32:33:39 Hike. No, they don't have kike. Oh, no, they don't have that one either. A Jew may do a non-Jewish what he can do. He may treat her as he treats a piece of meat. Says who?
Says the Jew.
Hadarin 20 B Shulshan Aruch chosen Hamispat 348. Boy, it's very complicated. These, you know, if you were to have all these books, you'd have to know where all these different things are. A Jew may violate but not marry a non-Jewish girl. They're violating that right now because they do marry non-Jewish girls. Jeb Bush right now is married to one of those girls. Of course, she could be Jewish. You never do know. Amazing. Jeb Bush is a Jew, by the way. The Jews, the Bush family are Jews. Gad Shash 2, verse 2. A boy goy after 9 years and 1 day old, and a girl after 3 years and 1 day old, are considered filthy. Let me read that again. I'm going to take a little sip here. This is incredible. Oh, boy, I tell you. A boy goy after 9 years and 1 day old and a girl after 3 years and 1 day old are considered filthy. So they were considered clean right before that one extra day there. All the way up until that one extra day. 9 years. Pay attention. Nine. Again, nine. Next quote. Perfirkowitz, Talmud, TV, page 11. Talmud TV. Hey! We all knew it was Talmud TV. Rabba stated, with reference to the rabbinical statement that legally an Egyptian Gentile has no father, it must not be imagined that this is due to the Egyptians' excessive indulgence in carnal gratification, owing to which it is not written who the father was, but that if it were known, it would be taken into consideration. But the fact is that even if it is known, it is not taken into consideration. Thus, it may be inferred that the All-Merciful who declared their children to be legally fatherless, for so indeed it is also written, whose flesh is as the flesh of asses, and whose issue is like the issue of horses. I think we all know who the horses' asses are. It's the Jews, the horses' asses. Yes. My goodness, I tell you. Oh, the quotes of fools. Yevamoth 98A. So they're translating, they're telling you what this means. A non-Jew is legally fatherless, regardless of whether or not the father is known. Gentile children are essentially asses and horses, i.e. animals. That's the short translation of it, okay? Avodah Zara 36b. They decreed in connection with a heathen child that it should cause defilement by seminal emission so that an Israelite child should not become accustomed to commit pederasty with him. It is therefore to be concluded that a heathen girl communicates defilement from the age of 3 years and 1 day, for inasmuch as she is then capable of sexual act, she likewise defiles by a flux. This is obvious. Oh, sure, it sure is. Okay, next quote. I'm not going to waste my time with that. Avodah Zara. 36b to 37a. Our Joseph said, come in here. A maiden aged 3 years and 1 day may be acquired in marriage by coition intercourse. And if her deceased, so in other words, you could just marry her by having intercourse with her. A maiden aged 3 years and a day may be acquired in marriage by intercourse. And if her deceased husband's brother cohabits with her, she becomes his. The penalty of adultery may be incurred through her. If a nida, she defiles him who has connection with her, so that he in turn defiles that upon which he lies as a garment which has lain upon a person afflicted with gonorrhea. Sanhedrin 55b, Rab said, pederasty with a child below 9 years of age is not deemed as pederasty with a child above that. Samuel said, pederasty with a child below 3 years is not treated as with the child above that. Rab makes 9 years the minimum, but if one committed sodomy with a child of lesser age, no guilt is incurred. Samuel makes 3 a minimum. These people are mentally ill. Do you understand that? Pederasty. They're pedophiles. You wonder why now they're talking about including pedophilia as one of the sexual connotations, like it's viable. It certainly is viable to these mentally ill people, as you can see. These are supposedly God's chosen people, Judeo-Christian. Do you hear what I'm reading to you? This is their words. I'm not making this up. Do you think it's okay to have sex with a 9-year-old boy or a 3-year-old girl? Sanhedrin 54b. Rabbah said, it means this. When a grown-up man has intercourse with a little girl, it is nothing. For when a girl is less than 3 years old, it is as if one puts the finger into the eye. But when a small boy has intercourse with a grown-up woman, he makes her as a girl who is injured by a piece of wood. Oh, my God. Imagine they have time to think about it. You see, this is what happens. While we go to work and have to do everything all day and have no time to read, like, worthy things, this isn't even, this stuff is just, they have time to think this stuff up all day while we go to work. Ketubot 11b. This debate concerns whether or not someone is a virgin. Virginity is prized above all, such that it is believed that a girl under the age of 3 will regain her virginity, even if a man has intercourse with her. Whew, boy. FN7 says, in regard to putting the finger into the eye, i.e. tears come to the eye again and again, so does virginity come back to the little girl under 3 years. Since virginity is prized above all, one could assume that this conclusion has allowed grown men to have sex with little girls with immunity. A grown-up woman is not deflowered by having sex with a small boy, however, since he is only like a piece of wood. Well, why doesn't she just have sex with a piece of wood instead?
I would not do such a thing.
Okay, how ridiculous. It was taught, our Judah used to say, a man is bound to say the following 3 blessings daily. Blessed art thou, who has not made me a heathen, who has not made me a woman, and who has not made me a brutish man. Oh, yeah. Our Abba B, Jacob once overheard his son saying, blessed art thou, who has not made me a brutish man. Whereupon he said unto him, and this too, said the other. Then what blessing should I say instead? He replied, he who has not made me a slave and is not the same as a woman. A slave is more contemptible.
Boy, oh boy.
Manakoth 43b through 44a. A prayer or benediction to be said by a Jewish man every day. Thank God for not making me a Gentile, a woman, or a slave. Well, I would say many of them make each other. I think a lot of Jews are homosexuals and very effeminate. And they certainly seem, I know they're Gentiles. I don't know. It's very, it's crazy. Do not save Goyim in danger of death. Show no mercy to the Goyim. Nice. So, you know how, you know, you have the Good Samaritan, you had somebody laying in the street and he took him back and got him healed and everything was, you know, they say, their God, do not save the Goyim in danger of death. Show no mercy to the Goyim. Next quote. Hilchoth Akum 11. A Jew is forbidden to drink from the glass of wine which a Gentile has touched, because the touch has made the wine unclean. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what. Well, who do you think made the wine in the first place? And they probably were stepping on it with their feet. Boy, oh, boy. They don't, I don't know. It's crazy. Shulchan Aruch Joher DA 122. And he who desires that none of his vows made during the year shall be valid, let him stand at the beginning of the year and declare, every vow which I may make in the future shall be null. His vows are then invalid, providing that he remembers this at the time of the vow. Now, they just had the beginning of the Jew year, or the new year, the new Jew year, and they performed the Kol Nidra. And that's what this is. See, you understand? So now you can see that when they make business deals, when they make deals with other nations, when they make deals with the Shabbos Goy, they never intend to follow these deals out. They'll smile while they're shaking your hand if they want to touch a goyim. But the vow is invalid. So, Nehar Dim 23b. Essentially, the Kol Nidra prayer is said every year at Yom Kippur. FN 1 says, this may have provided a support for the custom of reciting Kol Nidra, a formula for dispensation of vows. Prior to the evening service of the Day of Atonement, R-A-N, the context makes it perfectly obvious that only vows where the maker abjures benefit from aught or imposes interdict of his own property upon his neighbor are referred to. Though the beginning of the new year is mentioned here, the Day of Atonement was probably chosen on account of its great solemnity. But Kol Nidra, as part of the ritual, is later than the Talmud, and as seen from the following statement about Ar Huna H. Hinena, the law of revocation in advance was not made public. Of course they wouldn't make that public. My goodness, my goodness. Okay, let's see how many more quotes we can get in here, ladies and gentlemen. This one is from, it's from several books. We beg thee, O Lord, inflict thy wrath on the nations not believing in thee. Take away, O Lord, all hope from them. Destroy all foes of thy nation. We read that one. Next one, the teaching of the Talmud stands above all other laws. They are more important than the laws of Moses. Hello, Rabbi Israel and Rabbi Chasbar et al. Now, listen again to this quote. I want you to listen very closely because this is what Yeshua accused them of. And this will show you that though they, that rabbi that I read, that we had that video in the beginning of this program today, he was telling you how important the Noahide laws were, wasn't he? And important that they were going to impose that on all the world, city by city. But now I want you to pay attention. You see, these are liars, and I want you to know them for who they are. We're not just making things up about these people. I'm telling you, they're liars. The Kol Nidra proves that they're liars alone. The Kol Nidra proves that they are not the chosen people of Yahweh, because Yahweh would make no such agreement to allow them to make agreements with somebody that were false agreements. The devil would do that, though, and that's who their God is. Now, I want you to listen to this very carefully now. The teachings of the Talmud stand above all. How many are left after all? None. So the teachings of the Talmud stand above all other laws. They are more important than the laws of Moses. That's the Torah. And that's the Noahide laws, which for some reason have only 7 instead of 10, which Yahweh gave to Moses. Very interesting, isn't it? They're even more bold than the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church just cuts off the second one, and then splits up the 9 and 10, or the 10th one into 9 and 10. They at least still keep 10 commandments, so to speak, even though it's false, it's falsified. But the Jews just removed 3. They don't care. They just removed 3 of them. When we get into the Noahide laws, we'll find out what that really is all about. Next quote, the decisions of the Talmud are words of the living God. Yes, we read this before. Jehovah himself asks the opinions of the earthly rabbis when there are difficult affairs in heaven. Oh, yes, I'm sure that's true. Listen to this one. It is more wicked to question the words of the rabbis than those of the Torah. There again proves you, that goes with the second one here, it is more wicked to question the words of the rabbis than those of the Torah. Hello. Another one from Jekat Shadaz, 171.3. That last one was from Mishnah Sanhedrin. This one is from Jekat Chedaz. It is forbidden to disclose the secrets of the law. He who would do it, it would be as guilty as though he had destroyed the whole world. Okay, let's go to the next one from the Sanhedrin 59a, Abodah Zora 8-6, which makes no sense, Zadgiga 13. Every goy who studies the Talmud and every Jew who helps him in it ought to die. Yes, every goy who studies the Talmud and every Jew who helps him in it ought to die. Next one. To communicate anything to a goy about our religious relations. Okay, I read that one before. Next one. If a Jew be called upon to explain any part of the rabbinic books, he ought to give only a false explanation. Whoever will violate this order shall be put to death. See, it's that important that they lie to you and you not know how they feel about you and everything, that they would actually kill their own for revealing it to you, okay? If a Jew be called upon to explain any part of the rabbinic books, he ought to give only a false explanation. Whoever will violate this order shall be put to death. Now remember that he said that they have to tell the truth, that they're commanded to tell the truth in the beginning of this teaching. Okay, I already read that one. Yes, I read that one too. Uh-huh. It looks like we've gotten through quite a few here. This is quite amazing. Okay, It is permitted to kill a Jewish denunciator everywhere. It is permitted to kill him even before he denounces. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. When you go to war, do not go as the first, but as the last, so that you may return as the first. 5 things has Canaan recommended to his sons. Love each other, love robbery. All right, love each other, love the robbery. Hate your masters and never tell the truth. Aren't we missing one there? But anyway, what we see here is this is exactly what the Edomites had done when they went to war with other tribes. So I want you to see, this is what they do when they go to war. See, they're not brave. They're not brave men who go right to the front line and fight and are ready and eager to fight. But listen to this. When you go to war, do not go as the first, but as the last, so that you may return as the first. Does that make sense to you? Yes. See, what they do is they stay in the back and they shoot other people in the backs, and then they return first in hopes that they will have control. You see? Next one. This is from Shulchan Aruch Joradia. A Jew is permitted to rape, cheat, and perjure himself, but he must take care that he is not found out so that Israel may not suffer. Oh, my God. I tell you, it is just a... Okay, I'm going to read that again. A Jew is permitted to rape, cheat, and perjure himself, but he must take care that he is not found out so that Israel may not suffer. Now, there's some there's moral code for you there. You're talking about some real moral people. God's chosen people here. Yeah. The devil's chosen people. Another one. Let's hear this other one here. If a goy wants a Jew to stand witness against a Jew in the court of law, and if the Jew could give fair evidence, he is forbidden to do it. But if a Jew wants a Jew to be a witness in a similar case against a goy, he may do it. Ah, the old double standard. Isn't the Jew known for the double standard? Isn't it amazing? Now listen to this. Another quote. This one's from the Shulchan Aruch Chozon Havaspat 425:5. Those who do not confess the Torah and the prophets must be killed. Who has the power to kill them? Let them kill them openly with the sword. If not, let them use artifices till they are done away with. You see, they just told you that the Talmud is superior and all the laws of the Talmud are superior to the Torah. It's just, these people are just, they lie so much that they forget things. There's something wrong with these people. Can you see that? I hope you can see that. Okay, here's another one. Should a Jew inform the goyish authorities that another Jew has much money and the other will suffer a loss through it, he must give him remuneration. Shulchan Aruch Chozon Mazipat, 3088. I don't know. I mean, you can go on and on and on and on and on and on. It's just amazing. Here's another one. A pregnant non-Jew is no better than a pregnant animal. Another one. The souls of non-Jews come from impure spirits and are called pigs. I believe you're pigs. Although the non-Jew has the same body structure as the Jew, they compare with the Jew like a monkey to a human. Here's another one. If you eat with a Gentile, it is the same as eating with a dog. I'd rather eat with a dog than eat with you, Jew. Here's another one from Talmud Sanhedrin 74b. Sexual intercourse between Gentiles is like intercourse between animals. Boy. And we remember from that quote that, you know, if there should be
a Jewish animal in the house or something, the man is liable. You know, us Gentiles, we'd rather have sex with the Jewish cow than our woman. Oh boy, they are definitely gonzo. They ought to have a book that gonzo. And this is from Gonzo 425-363. If a Jew is speaking, you know he's lying. And there's some truth. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, the horses' mouths are more like asses. They've made asses out of themselves. And I've about had enough of these people. I mean, I've had, you know, way too much of these people. It's time for them to be herded up. And may Yahweh herd them up quickly. I tell you, it's just, the more you hear that comes out of the pie holes of these people, the more you should realize who they are, what they are, and who they've always been. I hope this message that I have done here has educated you, and I hope that you will come to a deeper understanding of your enemy by going through this. You have to see the double standard. You have to see how they've twisted everything all over the place. You have to see that these people are mentally ill. And I mean literally mentally ill. You know, institutions, mental institutions were made for these people. Well, I'm going to say goodbye here. You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.